Hi, it's really great to have you with us. I'm Rob Porter. My wife Heather and I have the amazing privilege of being the senior pastors at Kingdom Culture Church in Burpengary, Queensland. We have an incredible preaching team, and I hope that this message will encourage and bless you as you listen.
I want to speak to you this morning about your gift, about growing in your gift, and about how vital it is that you bring your gift to the kingdom. But before that, can I just tell you a couple of testimonies? Is that all right? So I was in Perth last week at a great church called Nations Church, and just enjoying my itinerant, because next year my itinerant allowance decreases drastically for obvious reasons. Apparently I have to be here. So I'm just getting it all in November. But it was a great time. I think we've got some pictures if the guys want to throw them up. It was a great Sunday. Nations Church had one of their biggest Sundays of the year. There was 1,800 people across the day. And we saw 40 first-time salvations, which was just incredible. Yeah, you can clap the Lord. Glory to God. And it just got chaotic. It was like holy chaos, man. Like the 5 p.m., bro, there was some stuff going on that even I was like, is that the Lord? Like, I don't even know. Rolling demons coming out. And I just, this is why I share this with you. We never at this church share testimonies, whether it's about worship or anything, to prop up man. We do it to give glory to God, but also to stir our faith. But also as a church, what an honor to take kingdom culture with us. And really, what I want to talk about this morning, it's cool that I get to go to big churches and bring kingdom culture. You know what's way cooler? You taking it to your school, to your family, to your friends. My mission field happens to be sometimes on platforms and in buildings. But can I tell you, when you love on someone in your workplace, the Lord smiles just as much, maybe a bit more, than when I preach to a bunch of people. And I'm being self-debasing, like I love what I do and it's pretty awesome. But there's something about when we're all in, when we're all in. So I want to talk to you about growing your gifts, and we're going to read a bit of scripture, but I want to say this and then I'll release you, Beck. But before you go, but this is really what's on my heart this morning is we desperately need you. We desperately need you. The kingdom of heaven desperately needs you. Church was never meant to be a space where hundreds or thousands of people come and sit and watch one man or woman's gift on display. It was always meant to be a place where hundreds or thousands of people come, gather, be stirred in faith by the gift of one or two, so that the gift of the one or the two multiplies to the tens, twenties, hundreds, and thousands. It was always meant to be a place for you to be equipped. We need you. I can run around yelling into microphones until I am blue in the face, but there is people that I cannot reach and you can. There is people that are your assignment, not mine. So your gifting, what the Lord's placed on the inside of you is so valuable. And I'm sorry if occasionally church, capital C, has felt like certain things are elevated and other things are forgotten. But I want to say this in grace and truth. It is your responsibility to stir your fire. It's your responsibility to develop your gift. It's your responsibility to go, Father, what would you have me do in this life? So we're going to talk about our gifts this morning. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sister. Be released in your lovely dress. Before we, I guess, read some scripture, it is lovely dress. I want to just put a couple of the gifts up on screen. Because I think it's good to know what you might be working with or might not be working with. So if we could put that list up. Okay, it's a pretty big list, but some different gifts. So we've got administration. Thank God for people that are good at admin. We've got being an apostle, the apostolic gifting that takes territory, takes ground. We've got discernment. And discernment, by the way, is not cynicism. So many people that are just cynical are like, I've got a gift of discernment. No, you just hate people. Discernment is the ability to look at something and go, something feels off, something feels... So that's great. Evangelism, which obviously is pretty self-explanatory. Exhortation, that's a great one. That's a gift that it's people... Carly definitely has this gift. It's people that when their faith, just something happens on the inside of you. They praise God, you're like, I should probably praise God. Like exhorting the saints in their things. Faith, the gift of faith, that's a great one. They're the kind of people that you get around them and you're like, I can do it. I can do it. And it's a gift. It's not just like some people say all the same things and you walk away being like, I don't know if I can do it. But then you hang out with someone else who's not even as eloquent and you walk away like, God is big. God is good. His promises are yes and amen. They've probably got a gift of faith. The gift of giving, that's actually a gift. Some people actually have the gift of being able to give, not just finances, but maybe opportunity, whatever it is. But their gift is actually giving unto the body of Christ to help it grow. The gift of healing, something that I think is going to really grow in our church. People that God has anointed to heal bodies, to hear mental health issues. And it really is a gift, right? I've got a friend, Alex Tan. He's a great man of God. And about 3 years ago, he just, everywhere he would preach, people would just get healed, like radically. And he wasn't working for it. And we had a phone call. I said, bro, I think you've got the gift of healing. Because I was like, have you been praying into this? He's like, not really. Because people are getting healed everywhere I go. It's a gift of healing. Helps. Oh, praise God for the gift of helps. These people, this is going to blow your mind. They help. Yeah. And so, but it's more than that. It's a spirit of seeing and doing. It's a spirit of, I'm going to go and I'm going to help. I'm going to be there for people. I'm going to see the need, fill a need. We've got hospitality, huge gift. It also partners up really well with discipling. These people, they can often cook. They know how to set a lounge room. Okay. If you've gone to my parents' house for a dinner, if you've gone to Rachel's house for a dinner, you would know, and probably heaps of other people. The gift of hospitality, it's not just cooking food or opening a lounge room to people. It's actually in that environment you begin to soften their heart. The gift of hospitality, gift of knowledge, understanding, not just scripture, but maybe even the way church works or understanding of the nature of God. Leadership, these people just build teams, man. These people know how to rally. Pastor Jesse Rose definitely has a huge gift of leadership and different ones. You'll see people rally to them. They can just be standing there breathing and people are like, do you need something? And the rest of us are like, I wish I had that gift, you know. Pastoring and mercy. So these are actually together, but they're separate. So the gift of pastoring is actually building people up. This is taking too long. Building people up in their spiritual world. Mercy is actually the gift of, we have the Queen of Mercy on the front row here. Mercy is the gift of these people. Pastors that have the gift of mercy bleed deeply for people. And they feel everything they feel. And every now and again, apostolic voices need to be like, come back up quickly, you're gonna drown. But these people are amazing. The gift of prophecy, hearing from God what he is saying unto his church and his people, both corporately and individually. Serving, some people have the gift just to serve. Think of Daniel in the Bible. Speaking in tongues, which we believe is a gift unto all men and women, which builds up and edifies oneself. The gift of teaching, Pastor Caleb, and the gift of wisdom. These people just seem to have a peace and a disposition to know what to do in situations, and it is so good. So that's a couple of things, and what a heavenly cocktail. Not that I drink, but what a heavenly cocktail when if everyone was activated in that list, in what God has for them. That is powerful. But what's happened for a long time in the church is five people in a church of 1,000 are activated powerfully in their gift. Everyone comes and is impressed by the gift, and the region never changes. The church probably grows because the ascension gifts build the house, but the region never changes because the gifts are meant to be stirred in here but poured out there. And so we have a responsibility as the believer to grow in the gifts on our life. Amen? Who can see something on that list that you know you're either flowing in or called to? Just a quick show of hands. Good. I was going to be so sad if like four people put their hand up, but that didn't happen. Okay, I want to tell you this. Calling does not set you apart because we all have one. The response to the call does. So we love, in Pentecostal circles, we love that term, calling. I mean, I was called. Everyone's called. Everyone that said yes to Jesus is called. But it's the response to the call. That's where the power is. That's where the set apartness is. Remember that verse, many are called, few are chosen. And Bethel's been teaching this for years, but how do you get chosen? Say yes. Used to stress me out that verse because I'm a type 3. Many are called, few are chosen. Straight away, I'm like, how do you get chosen that? Because I wouldn't want to fail. It's also when I first heard about the fivefold. I'm like, apostle sounds dope because it's at the top. So if we're all called and we all have dormant gifts, then we as the church need to work much harder, capital C church, at activating the gifts in the house, not just reaching the lost out of the house. Because I want to reach the lost out of the house. But if we just reach the lost out of the house and they all come here and no one's flowing in their gifting, we will create a dormant congregant. We got good worship, man. We sometimes have good preaching, maybe. God's moving, God's good. So the church will grow. But is the church growing the metric of success for Jesus? Partly. Partly. But sons and daughters coming alive in what God has, Jesus goes, there it is. And so we've got to make sure we're chasing our calling. If calling is the Christ destination of your life, the gifts on and in your life are the transportation. So church can facilitate better streams of empowerment for sure. Capital C. We need to get better. We need to grow. We need to have better programs, opportunity, bleed people into their gifts, have blah, 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 blah. But just for this morning, can we just forget about the church and going, oh, I wish the church did this, the church. And let's less fingers, more thumbs. Let's look at ourselves and go, how can I, apart from man's platforming, grow in the gifts? Because if you look in the Old Testament and the New Testament, a lot of the people that grew in the gifts of God did not only not have opportunity from man, they had opposition from man. Yeah. And so how can we grow in our gifts? I want to read you a random story from 2 Kings. It's actually what it's called. It's called Random Story. It's not. 2 Kings 9, verse 9. It's going to be on the screen. The prophet Elisha summoned a man from the company of the prophets and said to him, tuck your cloak into your belt. It's good, isn't it? Take this flask of olive oil with you and go to Ramoth Gilead. When you get there, look for Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi. Go to him. This is the part I want to focus on this morning. Get him away from his companions and take him into the inner room. Get him away from his friend circle and get him into the inner room. Get him away from his circumstance and situation and get him in to the inner room. This is a powerful thought. Then take the flask and pour the oil on his head and declare, this is what the Lord says. I anoint you king over Israel. Then open the door and run and don't delay. How good are prophets? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the 17 minutes I have left. We thank you, Father God, you're going to move this morning. Speak to us clearly. Let it not be a person yelling into a mic, but Lord, would you speak to us corporately and individually about what you've placed in our hearts that we would run with the gifting and calling you've placed in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Some things are only found in the secret place. I love church. I am a church kid. I am a church guy. I love corporate encounters. Let's go big. Let's rent a stadium. Let's have the biggest. Levi, order the biggest LED you can find right now. Like, let's go. Because it's just like some things are only poured out in the secret place, some things are only poured out in the corporate atmosphere of faith. But we're not talking about this morning. We're talking about the secret place. And so some things you can only find. Some breakthroughs are only seen. Some anointings are only found between you and the Father. There is an animal called the snow leopard. Now, you guys know this. My mum was very diligent in me watching National Geographic, David Attenborough. And I always remember there was a National Geographic episode. This is powerful, guys. About the snow leopard. It's one of the rarest animals on earth. And it's only found in the mountains of Tajikistan. That's the only place it's found. It has been hunted to extinction in every other location. The mountains of Tajikistan are just in between sort of like the Middle East coming into like Nepal and it's mountainous and it's impossible to get to, and there's like two photos of these in the wildest thing. It's crazy. Imagine if tomorrow the Lord woke me up with a burning desire, a burning, like not just like a maybe, a burning desire to see a snow leopard in real life. I pray he does. He woke me up and he was like, son, you're going to go and you're going to see a snow leopard under my glory. And I'd be like, Father, thank you. I'd say to Anna, I've got to go. The Lord has called me. She'd say, what are you talking about? We've got an 8-week old. I said, babe, it's the snow leopard. The Lord is calling me to see it with my own eyes. I need to use some of our savings to go. And so imagine if I booked a flight to LAX, landed at LAX, and I wandered the streets of LA looking for the snow leopard. Texted Anna and I was like, babe, it's not here. She'd be like, what are you talking about? I need to book a flight to Paris. She'd be like, we're going to have no money. The Lord said, babe. So I booked a flight to Paris. I got to Paris, had a baguette, walked around, went to the Eiffel Tower, had another baguette, and walked around looking for a snow leopard. And then I came home. $15,000 later, hugged my daughter and my wife. And my wife's a pretty direct woman. So she'd probably go, how did you go? I would have said, well, I went to LA. Went to every taco truck. Flew to Paris. Had so many baguettes. Put on 14 kilos. But babe, I just don't know if God was in it because I didn't see a snow leopard. I want to tell you, Anna Joy Porter would look at me with fire in her eyes and go, you're an idiot. Firstly, I don't know if it was a word from God. Secondly, you didn't even go to where the snow leopard lives. You're away for 10 weeks. I don't know why I was away for 10 weeks, but I was. So you get some sleep. And she'd go, you spent all this money, all this effort, all this time, but you didn't go to the right location. So it is with us, with the gifts and the destiny of God. So often we know about it and we've heard about it, but we go to the wrong place. We go to the wrong location and we invest. We invest years and years of effort in maybe even in the church, maybe trying to climb the ladder, maybe trying to do this and that, grow in stature with man. But we neglect the place where the anointing and the gifting of God resides, which is in the secret place with Him. I'm convinced that 95% of what you do for God in your life is a result of the secret place or lack thereof. Now, there is a 5% where you've got to learn how to like interact with humans and smile and be warm. It says Jesus grew in favor with God and with man. Like you can't be weird. But so much of it is in the presence of God talking to Him. If the church... Man, we don't have time to go into revival culture, but if the church would seek His face individually, then the church would explode corporately. We can preach our guts out, Pastor Rob preaching next week, Jesus stories. We can do all the things, but if we do not go away and seek His face, it is a waste of everyone's time. And the Lord will add, because He's so kind and faithful, and people will come in and the Word still works, and we wash people in worship, we wash people in the Word. But if we want to see a city changed, we have to go and seek Him where He lives. The anointing is not cheap. Elisha says to the prophet, take him away from his companions. Take him away. The anointing costs something. Take him away from the situation, circumstance. It doesn't even tell, it might have been forcibly. Take him to the inner room. What do you need to get away from in your life that's so hampering what God would have for you? What do you need to leave? And I get it's easier to just preach a sermon on faith and have a big corporate moment and have a conference and all those things are great because we feel like that will expedite the process of gifting. It won't. It might stir us. It might make us stop watching as much TV for a week. But guilt doesn't work to push you into the things of God. It just gives you 2 weeks of false holiness. I remember back in the day, you know, missionaries would come through different churches when I was young and they'd do things like, some of you here today, you bought a Big Mac meal. Now, Big Mac meal, if you donated it to my missions organization, could have fed a family water for 4 weeks. So we all sit there and go, oh, I probably shouldn't get drive-through on the way home. Missionary comes through and he's like, some of you have big, not anymore, but they used to say, you got big DVD or VHS collections. And if you sold that collection, you could build a well in northern Uzbekistan. And so all of us don't watch a movie for 2 weeks and we get bored and we just start watching our movies again. Guilt doesn't work. You need to have a conviction. You need to have a conviction of I need to go and meet with God. For in His presence, He will reveal to me. Can I tell you, if we chase Jesus, the rest will chase us. If we chase Him with everything. If keyboardists could come and join me, that'd be great. Went so quickly. I guess we went to LA and Paris and stuff. What we've gotten good at in the church is moving people's soul, but not their spirit. So we've gotten good at, and it's not wrong, but we've gotten good at creating moments that stir the pathos and the emotion of the believer. Oh, wow, God, yes. Nothing wrong with this, by the way. Yes, good. And there's so many different variants. You know, if you're at Hillsong, it's the drums are playing and it's with everything. If you're at Bethel, Gretzinger's on her knees. If you're at Jesus Image, Koulianos is walking, looking very stern, laying cats out. If you're at VU Church, it's Rich Wilkerson being one of the most brilliant communicators ever, stirring people. These are all things. And I'm not saying the speakers are, but what can happen is if we're not careful, only our soul is moved. Oh yeah, it's great. I see it at youth ministries all the time. I've started like getting less intense at youth events. One, because I don't want to do them anymore. But two, because I don't just want to stir their soul to be free of pornography. I want to convict their spirit to be free of it. And so when you are in the... But it's hard to move... I need to hurry up. It's hard to move the spirit of people if your spirit is not in communion with Him. So what we do is we've got ministers, worship leaders... Leaders in general, Christian leaders, that have become professionals at moving the soul of people. Rooms on their knees, but nothing shifts. Because passion for the Lord is in the room, but the anointing oil of breakthrough is my anointing breaks the yoke. That's not there. And so we must be a church that knows how to move the spirits of men and women. But that only happens if we're in communion with Him. You can see the intensity of Elisha. He's like, I don't care what he's doing. Get him into the inner room. Why? He knew that in that inner space, something would happen. What happens? Well, I should give you some context to what's going on at the time. So Ahab is gone. The evil king is gone. But Jezebel is still ruling in the land. And many prophets have come through and said, this land's going to come back to the Lord and this, that, and the other. But Elisha knows that if this young man's going to believe it, he needs God to say it. Because Elisha knew that a word from God is the ultimate faith booster and thing that brings conviction. Some of us have no conviction because God, we haven't gone to God for Him to speak to us in years. So we must be separated to hear His voice. The voice of God causes things to give birth. Psalm 29:9 says, the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare in all the temple cry His glory. When you're with God, He speaks to you things that makes your baby jump. See, I love good preaching, man. I listen to Judah Smith every week. I'm not in the room with him. We need teaching, man. We need communication. But sometimes you just need to stand there with the Lord and have Him speak to you. And I promise you, it'll be so much better than any preacher, so much better than any worship team. So, man, I've stood in some rooms. My parents used to take me to Hillsong all the time and some of the best speakers. And I had... life-changing moments there. But the best moments in my life is when no one's around and there's nothing to mask my insecurity and there's nothing to add to the presence of God and He speaks to my heart and He speaks to me as a son. Those are the moments. Those are the moments that change everything. I'll finish in a sec. I was talking to Banning the other day. It's a little flex. He told me the best story, and I'm literally just going to tell his story because it really articulates what I'm trying to say. He said that when he was young, he ran, Jesus Culture was just taking off, and he was serving at Bethel, and they had a youth conference, and he couldn't believe how many signed up, youth young adults. It was like 2,000 signed up. And so he's like, I'm going to get Judah Smith. And so he contacted and got Judah Smith, and Judah Smith was booked in. And Bill Johnson said to him, you need to preach the morning session the next day. And he's like, I don't really want to preach after Judah. And he hadn't been preaching much. Like he did a few Wednesday nights, but he really hadn't. Anyway, Judah comes through and like blows the Friday night up. Like just excellent articulation, giving words of knowledge, like calling things out of people. Bodies are getting healed, crazy. And Banning the next morning is sitting at the front row at Bethel and he's just like stressed. And he said afterwards, people were like, oh, it's so good to see you interceding, Banning. But he was just at the front like, oh, God. God, please don't let me suck in front of Judah Smith. And the Lord said this to him. He said, Banning, you can be a preacher and you'll do good sometimes, you'll do bad other times. Or you can be my son. And if you're my son, I'll always be pleased. And Banning goes, can I just be a preacher this morning? I just love the honesty. Because if the Lord said that to me, I'm like, from 11 o'clock today, I'll be a son. But would you anoint me with the spirit of T.D. Jakes just for 10 minutes? When God speaks. If they'd gotten this young man and said, hey, we're going to ride down to Jezreel. And we're going to do this and that. Then we're going to throw Jezebel out the top of the tower and you're going to become king. He probably would have been like, what? You know how many people Jezebel had murdered that had tried to kill her? Like this queen, man, she was anointed by Satan. Like she had power. She had, Elisha knew that a word from man wouldn't do it. Yeah. He's like, get this young man to the Holy of Holies. Why? Because God needs to speak to him. See, what happens in the presence of God, and I'm finishing, is that God reveals his narrative for you in the secret place. God reveals the story over your life in the secret place. You might go, it started off about giftings and now we're talking about hope and narrative. But if you do not have the correct narrative, if you do not have the correct hope, you will never chase after the things on your life. A tiny wave will knock you over. A tiny bit of wind will make you go, I don't know if you're in it. The voice of Jezebel will speak to you. But if you've been in the inner sanctum, and God said, this is what I'm going to do with your life. This is what. So what happens is we get all impressed by amazing anointings. I do it too. I had a bit of a Judah Smith moment when I was preaching the session after Ben Fitzgerald. I was like, Lord, can you make me like more weighty? Like just more authoritative and like, I won't be funny. I won't tell any jokes. He's like, maybe just wear your armor. And I was like, yeah, no, it sounds great. But in the moment at the Perth Convention Center, I'm like, yeah, what if I just borrowed Ben's just for this session? Let's be honest. Not very spiritual of him. No, it's not. The Lord was like, wear your armor. What are you doing? If you try and be someone else, you will bomb hard. Can you imagine me getting up, being all intense and severe, and it just wouldn't work? Everyone would be like, what is he doing? Why is this short dude yelling at me? When Ben does it, we're all like, I need Jesus. Why? Because he's in his armor. He's in his armor. God will reveal his narrative. Hopelessness occurs when we are more connected to other narratives. Hear me, I'm almost done. Hopelessness occurs when you are listening to every other voice. You might go, tonight we're going to talk a bit more about stirring the gifts up with the laying on of hands and having, but we've got to start at the beginning. We've got to start at hearing from God. We've got to start from what do you want me to do? And then I'll have a conviction to chase that through the seasons of life. We're in a generation, I'm not just talking about young people, that you wake up and you have 700 things on your phone talking to you. We're so contactable. I was thinking about it on the plane on the way back from Melbourne. And I was like, man, I wonder what like our grandparents, like my granddad, Cecil, he's the best. And I just watch his life and particularly when he was a bit younger. And it was just very like cup of tea, work, go home, dinner, cup of tea, newspaper, maybe the cricket on the radio, bed. There wasn't 700 voices yelling at our grandparents. We wake up and we've got a portal to hell. Let's be really honest. This week it's been like, political opinion. I'm like, nothing wrong with this thing. You know, people, oh, phone. Nothing wrong. This is just a servant. You decide if you make it a master. You decide if you make it a preeminent voice. Yeah. Preachers all over Australia are like, your phone's evil. Our phones are like, I'm just a phone, man. You've got to make sure you go to the place of the correct narrative. Because if you know the narrative of heaven, life becomes easier. Last story, Benjamin, come join me. I remember the first time I saw The Lord of the Rings. Is this guy going to include Lord of the Rings in every sermon? Yes. 100%. And you will like it. But my friend John O'Royan, he hadn't seen them and I watched them before my mum said I could at my Auntie Sue's. And then my dad took me to a trilogy at Morrowfield Cinemas. Took blankets and cheese and crackers. And it was awesome. But anyway, my friend Jono hadn't seen it. By the way, if you haven't seen Lord of the Rings here, big spoilers. But also, if you haven't seen Lord of the Rings here, it's on you. So halfway through the first movie, Gandalf, who's kind of like a little bit of the Jesus typology in the movie series, he's protecting them from this big demon, a Balrog of Morgoth, which isn't important. But that speech, he's on the bridge, he's like, "You cannot pass, I am the will of the sacred fire, the will of the flame of Arnor, dark fires are not of value, flame of Runeterra." Yeah, and so he's doing that, and he defeats it, he cracks the bridge, and the Balrog falls, but the Balrog wraps a whip around his leg, and I'm not even preaching now, I'm just having so much fun, and pulls him, and he's hanging onto the edge, and Frodo turns around in slow-mo, and Aragorn's there, and then he says that amazing line where he's looking at the camera, and he's like, "You fools," and then he falls, and he's like, "No!" And I was watching this with Jono, but I knew the story, right? And Jono looked at me and was like, "What the heck? Isn't he like the main guy?" I'm like, "No, Jono, Aragorn's the man." Oh, it's so annoying. And Jono was like, "This," and then they're outside and they're like, and Jono was annoyed. I remember him being like, "This is stupid. I loved the wizard dude." And I'm there like this. I mean, it was like, I think a year until we watched The Two Towers. But when you know the narrative, oh man, it brings comfort. Yeah. It brings excitement. It brings faith. Yeah. So many of us don't have our own narrative from God. How are we supposed to overthrow Jezebel? We've got to have something to stand on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're never going to move in your giftings if you've got nothing to stand on. You try and you'll... But it's in that secret place. It's in that inner sanctum. It's where Jehu goes, "Hey, we got to go now." Yeah. That's the place where your gifting and my gifting and our calling starts. Because I promise you, friend, there will be things that rage against your anointing and your calling. There will be things, there will be Jezebel voices that speak and try and cut you down and pull you back. But if you've got a word, if God said, we need a generation that has a bit more God said.
Yeah.
And not in that like flaky, like God said to marry him when he clearly didn't. But like that, I was in the inner sanctum. I was by my bed. I was on the train and God spoke vision and purpose. God spoke calling. And that's now the due north of my life and my decisions and my interactions and what I develop will all be aligned to the thing that God said.
Yeah.
Why don't we all close our eyes quickly in this place, bow our heads. I want to do an altar call, but before that, I just want to make sure everyone here knows Jesus. I know we've been talking about the things of the Spirit. But I tell you, the Lord's in this place. Jesus is in this place. And even though we're talking about Jesus speaking to giftings and callings this morning, he does that by speaking to our hearts. And I wonder this morning if there's anyone that Jesus has spoken to your heart. Maybe we could dim the lights just a touch, just to give people privacy. I want to tell you that if you respond to this by raising your hand, we're not going to call you out of your seat. We're not going to lay hands on you or anything. You're just going to stay right there. But we just want to give a moment for if you would say, "Yeah, the Lord's speaking to my heart." And I'm not asking if you go to church. I'm not asking if you used to. I'm asking, do you know Jesus? Do you have a living relationship? When you go to a prayer room, does the Lord speak? Just want to make sure. We always want to make sure here at Kingdom Culture that everyone knows Jesus. So I'm going to count to three. And if you would say, "I want to give my life to Jesus," or if you would say, "I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I want to hear him speaking. I don't want to just do church. I want the voice of God in my life." I'd love you to raise your hand and just pop it back down if that's you. One, two, three. If that's you, would you just give me a quick wave in this place and then pop your hand back down? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else this morning? Let's keep our eyes closed. Is there anyone else? Just quickly, no one's looking. Say, "Yep, that's me." Beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Well, hey, can we celebrate that one young lady that committed unto the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As I said, we're not going to call you out. One of our team will come and nicely and politely say hello to you after the service. But why don't we just quickly say a prayer together all across this place so no one feels awkward? How cool that 200 something people can stand with one person as they commit to the Lord. So why don't we say this together? Dear Jesus. Come on. Dear Jesus. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you died for me. This morning, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you my sin. Thank you for dying for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we celebrate one more time? Why don't we stand in the house this morning? We're so stoked that you're in church. Thank you for coming to church this morning. I encourage you to come back tonight. I'll touch on some of the same stuff, but I really feel tonight we're going to talk more about the laying on of hands, the commissioning of giftings. I feel the spirit of prophecy is going to flow. People are going to be sent into what God has for them, not by just me, but the team is going to minister. I didn't tell them that until then, but that's going to happen. That's going to be great. What I'd love us to do as we sing whatever is, this is what I want to do, a bit of a different altar call, is if you are just seeking clarity and hope from heaven, if you're just seeking narrative, of course you can come if you just want to be stirred in your giftings or whatever, but really this morning, I feel like as we respond in this moment, that if you're just like, I want to hear from heaven, I want a narrative, I want to go into that inner sanctum and have God speak to me, I want to invite you to the altar. I want you to, if you're able, just to come and kneel. Just to come and kneel at the altar, because this isn't really a, we're all going to lay hands on you. This is you and God. This is a moment between you and Him. So I'm going to corporately pray, but if that's you, just come and kneel at this altar and let's have a moment where God speaks to us. Father, we thank you this morning for your narrative. Lord, we go into the inner sanctum. We go into the Holy of Holies this morning and we ask, would you speak to us? Would you speak to our heart? Would you stir our gifting? And would you give us a kingdom narrative for our lives, our families, and our church? In Jesus' name.
Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's message. Our hope is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If not, we'd like to invite you to begin your journey with Him today. When we read Scripture, we see that sin separates us from God, but that our relationship with God is restored by salvation through Jesus Christ. This happens because God gave Jesus His Son to die in our place, to deal with the sin problem, and He rose again so that we can have eternal life with Him. If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we can know salvation today. If you're ready to do that and turn from a life of sin, then pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you've prayed this prayer for the first time today, we would love to know and reach out to you and support you. So please contact us at hello@kingdomculturechurch.com.au.